Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship on this 4th of July weekend here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. So we're really glad you're with us, whether you happen to be online with us, hello online people, or you're here in the sanctuary, we're glad that every single one of you are here. And if it happens to be that you are new among us, we have a gift for you. We have a lovely visitor bag, and you can get one at the Welcome Center that's just outside during coffee hour, just out through the second set of double doors. I'm Pastor Lynn, and I am your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Tom Doan over here and Carol Kapuska. And we've got some special music by Annie Hamilton on violin, accompanied by Josh Hamilton. So this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful service. Our preacher today is our music director, Susan Kimball. See, your fans are here. As we continue our sermon series on favorite hymns, today we're going to be focusing on Jesus Calls Us. I do want to let you know that we're going to wait to celebrate Holy Communion until next week, after the holiday is over, and when we can celebrate it with John and Lindsay and all of us as they return from their wonderful vacation in Nebraska. I invite you to complete the connection cards that you'll find in your bulletin. Let us know if there are any things that interest you. This is a new month, and every time there's a new month, that means there's a new list on the back, so you got to check it out. And if there is something going on in your life that you would like us to be praying with you, please fill out one of those prayer request cards in the back of the pew, and you can drop that and the connection card right into the offering plate. If there are any children with us, you can head on down to Sunday school. Sunday school is happening as far as you know, right? I think it is, even though it's a holiday. So head on down. All right, now we do have a few things to share with you. July 21st through 24th, which is coming all of a sudden, quickly, right? We'll be having our Vacation Bible School for children age 3 through 5th grade. It's free, but you do need to pre-register. So now's the time to sign up your kids and grandkids online and to invite your neighbors. We do have, we have a maximum number of kids that we can have, and we're full every year. So you want to make sure that you get signed up. By the way, we need people to help in two different ways. One, we need people to help decorate. And so if you can volunteer on a weekday, the week before, let us know and come on in. It's building all those wonderful sets and painting things and fixing things. Another way that you can help, though, is in the coffee hour space. There are two poster boards, just as you would if you were going to go straight on out through the front door. And they are filled with Post-it notes. And the Post-it notes each say something like cookies or apples or something. And if you can help, this will be the way that we will have snacks for the kids. So if you can bring 2 dozen apples, take 2 post-it notes or however it works. Look at it. And it's right next to where you can also take some post-it notes to help bring things to make Noah lunches. So 2 opportunities out there that we don't want you to miss. On Sunday, August 2nd, we'll be having an outdoor worship service at Whitmore Lake at 11 o'clock. It's going to be for all of the church, and it's going to be followed by a great picnic, a bounce house, and a whole bunch more. So we invite you to, if it can fit into your life and schedule, to plan to go down there. However, we will have the 9:30 service here. So you can come to 9:30 as usual, or you could even come 9:30 here and then head on down there for 11 o'clock, or you could head over, come to 9:30 and you could go to noon for the picnic. However you want to work it, that would all be great. But there will only be just the 9:30 service here. There will not be an 11 o'clock service here because we'll all be down there. All right, now, if you would like to find a way that you can make a difference in someone's life, how about helping a family in Ypsilanti? They are trying to get a home built with through the work of Habitat for Humanity, and on Friday, July 31st, people from our congregation will be going down to help. We're teaming up with some other churches that's called the Good News Group of Churches, and we're helping to build a house. You don't have to be a master builder. You just have to be able to hold something or lift something, you know, and someone will help you to learn how to do what you need to do. Finally, the first Sunday of the month is today, and that's the day that we remind you that we've got a new food bank awareness alert, and we want you to know that in July, we are going to try to bring in as much toothpaste and hygiene products as we possibly can for people in need. So any day this month, you can bring them into the library. There's those cupboards and drawers there. And let's make sure that people have toothpaste and hygiene products. It means so much. All right, let's stand together and sing this wonderful, another wonderful old song, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, number 402. It'll be on the screen.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit's presence among us. Help us to hear your voice over the tumult of this world and keep our focus on being more loving, more holy, and more like you. When life is challenging, help us to look to you to find inner peace and joy that so often seems out of reach. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 19, 16 to 30. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give the money to the poor, that you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Tom. I'm Susan Kimball. Welcome, friends. I'm so happy to be with you today. I'm a bit anxious. Normally, you see the back of my head, right? People see me in the grocery store and go, oh, I recognize you by your hair. So let's pray for a moment. Lord, I ask you for boldness as I speak to this church today. Remove my fears and doubts and intimidation from my heart. Fill me with courage that by your Spirit I can speak honestly from my heart. Bless my words. Be with me today as always. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. I don't know why I picked that song. I mean, I really love that hymn, but I don't know if it's my favorite. It just kept coming into my head when I raised my hand and volunteered, like, I could do that because it's about music. So this hymn was written by Cecil is the female pronunciation, Cecil Francis Alexander, who lived from 1818 to 1895. She married Irishman William Alexander at age 32. Her husband later became the Archbishop of Armagh in the Church of Ireland. Before she was married, she was a member of the evangelical wing of the church. So the evangelicals at that time were just very interested in Christian education, and she was especially interested in the education of children. So she was devoted to that, and her hymns were used for teaching Christian faith and devotion. She authored more than 400 hymns before she was married. Most of those were written for children. These were published in several collections, the most popular being the Verses for Holy Seasons and Hymns for Little Children. So these collections focused on teaching people about the liturgical year. So the songs were thematic throughout the liturgical year, so people could learn that repeated thing that we do over and over of the story of Jesus and his life. The hymn Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult is an exception in that it was not written as a children's hymn and was composed after her marriage. Just as a side note, her husband was from the more conservative part of the church. She wrote it to commemorate St. Andrew's Day, which is November 30th, although Andrew is not specifically mentioned in the hymn. The song is about the persistent call of Jesus amid the distractions and demands of life. So oftentimes we focus a lot on the words of the hymn and we don't think very much about the tune. So grab your hymnal for a second. In this period, hymns were typically written as poems with a meter that would fit many common tunes, okay? So lyrics and tunes were not typically written together. This tune is 87.87, or this meter, okay? So if you wrote a poem in that meter, it would fit with this tune. So many poems would fit with this tune. And it's really the magical combination of the lyrics aligned with the right tune that helps to convey its meaning, that gives us a hymn of lasting significance. I feel that this tune really calls out to us just as Jesus is calling out with urgency in the lyrics. This tune was written, the name of it is Galilee, because it has a part in the song about the Galilean lake, right? And it's written by the English organist William Herbert Jude in the period from 1851 to 1922. So he was just a little later after Cecil. So these tunes were not always paired with these poems at the same time. Each church might have had certain tunes the local tunes that they sung in their church that would fit that meter. And then this tune was paired with it later after it was published in one of these collections. So this hymn is in what's called trochaic meter. Okay, it'll say that at the end of it. Trochaic meter is most poems and hymns are written in iambic meter. da 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 da. That's iambic meter. This is written in trochaic meter. So the first syllable is stressed and followed by an unstressed syllable. So it's like dum da dum da dum da dum da, and it's the opposite of iambic meter. Okay, iambic sounds more natural to us, so just the fact that this sounds less natural and feels like less natural, it creates sort of a falling, like da-dum, sorry, I said that wrong. I'll say it right when I get down to the thing. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult, so the stress is on the first syllable instead of the second syllable. Here's the good example. Double, double, toil and trouble is trochaic meter, okay? So if you turn to page 926 in that hymnal. So I'll just give you a little lesson in some stuff in the hymnal that you probably don't know. So if you turn to page 926 and you look under that, name Galilee, it's 87.87 meter. So this is the meters. So it should say 8787 meter. It's toward the bottom of the page. And you'll see that there are different tunes that fit that meter. So there's Galilee, which is our song we're talking about today. Jesus calls us or the tumult. There's restoration. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. So if we put the poor and needy, da-da-da, come, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. That's like that. Then for the bread which you have broken. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Or it can fit with in the cross of Christ I glory. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. So you see how these meters can fit with different tunes. Sometimes I will find a hymn that I love the words and they fit perfectly with the theme of the day, but we don't know the tune. So I'll look back there like, okay, is there another tune I can put these words with and it can have the meaning and the song that I want, okay? So that's our little lesson of the hymnal for today. In the first verse, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth. Some hymnals change that to clear voice, saying, Christian, follow me. Through these lyrics, we can imagine Jesus pleading, Christian, follow me. Christian, love me more. Christian, love me more than these. In the first verse, the image we see is the wild, restless sea. The disciples were called from a literal wild, restless sea, while we are called from a life that can amaze, surprise, exhaust, and infuriate us daily. The restless sea reminds me of when my son Leo was first out in the Pacific Ocean on the USS Abraham Lincoln, which is an aircraft carrier, and he wrote to me of how incredibly vast and frightening the sea is out in the middle of the ocean. I always had a healthy respect for the ocean, especially when I lived in Hawaii. I would hear on the news about tourists who would be out on the beach or out snorkeling or something, and a huge wave would come in and really carry them away. So I was a little, fearful of that. Life sometimes feels this way, out of control, waves crashing over me, barely catching a breath sometimes. It reminds me of Jesus with the disciples at sea during the storm. And Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and they frantically wake him up. What? And he says, what are you worried about? I feel like that's what God says to me so oftentimes. What are you worried about? I feel like I should be able to just get on my surfboard and ride the waves. But my balance isn't so great. So I cry out to Jesus. No matter how ill-equipped and undeserving I feel, he keeps putting these opportunities in my path. Close your eyes for a moment. What is so loud in the world today for you? Breathe in. Breathe it out. Breathe in again. Breathe out that loudness and feel the stillness. The second verse of the song, you can open your eyes. The second verse of the song recounts the story of the apostles, the fishermen on the Galilean lake, and that is where the tomb name comes from, who left everything to follow Jesus. Here's the story as recounted by Matthew. For context, this is after Jesus has spent some time in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, preparing himself for his earthly ministry. He's just beginning his public ministry. His cousin, John the Baptist, has been arrested, and he travels to Galilee. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Near is obviously a relative term. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, there's Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Many of us have heard this story before, but it seems like a rather insane thing to do. I mean, to just leave your job and your home and your family and go with some guy you just met with no guarantee of the future. Waiting for the Messiah was a huge part of the Jewish culture. And when he appeared and they recognized him, they dropped everything. So, I'm a water person, Pisces in the sun and the moon. During COVID, I was making recordings at home for the worship services. And for Easter, I decided to go out to the end of the dock and record the reading that we say at the beginning of Easter, where Mary's going to the tomb and finds the stone rolled away. And then I was going to sing "Morning Has Broken," right? Which is what we usually do for the sunrise service. So I'm out there reading this story, and when I get to the part where it says, "My Lord is not here," a fish jumps out of the water right next to me, and I just crack up laughing. But I suddenly felt less alone during that COVID time, and like God was giving me a sign that what I was doing was good, you know? Sometimes we don't hear him. Sometimes a big fish doesn't jump out of the water. We don't recognize him, or we ignore him. But he keeps calling, "Christian, follow me." The third verse is what the scripture reading that Tom read for us is tied to today. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, "Christian, love me more." We don't live in a culture of waiting expectantly for a Messiah. We recreate some of those feelings with our Advent and Christmas celebrations, at least in the Western world. Many of us have at least known a concept of who Jesus is throughout our lives. In a world where we've always known who he was, where so many distractions are constantly speeding in front of us, we may feel less urgency about dropping everything to follow Jesus. I mean, he's always been there, so what's the hurry, right? Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store. I think this is the one among the most challenging lyrics in the song, which is why I chose this scripture reading for today. Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Perfect? Really? Say what? In a world where the wealthy hold all the power, by the way, is still true today, Jesus' statement turns everything his followers know about life upside down. I can't imagine giving away everything any more than I can imagine losing everything. I think of the refugees who leave their homes and travel to a foreign land where they don't speak the language and they bring nothing. I think of my great-grandparents during the Bolshevik Revolution when the soldiers came and burned their farm down, and their dogs barking gave them enough time to escape into the fields. It changed them. They never owned much again. They had a home that Grandpa built in Lansing and a car that they drove only on Sundays. And they always had room and a meal for anyone the church sent their way. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So he says this kind of thing lots of times. You have to leave everything else behind. We live in a world of consumer capitalism. In an article in Psychology Today from August 2025, it says, "We strive to earn more and more money, which allows us to buy more and better things and experiences, which is why many of us are incentivized to work harder and smarter. This model of consumer capitalism shapes our psychological mindset and is the foundation for much of our everyday behavior." And I think for most of us, we're like completely unaware of this. It's just a cultural thing, right? I hate to say it, but from everything I read, having more money actually does make people happier. It seems there's a plateau at which happiness doesn't increase with wealth, but this research is difficult to quantify and therefore inconclusive. So it's hard to adjust my thinking, right? Because this is how I grew up. This is the world I live in. A couple things have helped me adjust that thinking. So one of them was taking the Dave Ramsey course, Financial Peace. Have you ever heard of that, Dave Ramsey course? In his perspective, having financial peace means getting your priorities straight, providing for what is needed, and ultimately having money to give away. That's the part I loved. That's like the prize at the end of successfully managing your money. That was the real reward. Giving money away. The next thing that helped shape my perspective was selling all of my parents' possessions. After family members came and took something of theirs that would be a memory for them, we had sold everything at auction. It seemed like their lifetime of collecting things that were meaningful to them and once brought them joy wasn't really worth much, and it really wasn't missed. This made it a lot easier for me to let go of things and try to focus more on what was important. The disciples are floored by the statements Jesus has made and ask if the rich who have everything can't be saved, then who can be saved? But Jesus looks at them, "For mortals it is impossible." So I go back to that word perfect. This is impossible for us. But for God, all things are possible. This is the key. For God, all things are possible. I can't get there on my own. Even when my priorities get all goofed up and I make the wrong choices, Jesus keeps calling, "Love me more than these." So I've been told this eye of the needle that is mentioned in this reading is actually a space in the city gate that was difficult for camels to traverse. With God's help, I can get through that impossible entrance, the eye of the needle, to the peace, the contentment, the joy I desire. I am working on letting go of myself, of my ideas, my fears, my worries, and letting God's plan unfold. I thought the rest of the reading was also relevant because it goes to the fear we might feel when committing to Jesus. What will we have to give up? The disciples ask, "Well, what will become of us when we've given everything to you?" This is a legit worry. I mean, we've all heard stories of regular folks who, through a series of circumstances, find themselves homeless. So we have a big fat 401k in heaven, but what about now? Jesus talks about their reward in heaven, a place where the first will be last and the last will be first. Again, turning everything they know upside down. This is really challenging. In John 12, 26, Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Wow. You know, it's one thing to like be appreciated by your friends and your family and your colleagues, but for God to honor you, wow. I mean, that's like, I want that, you know? What would you give up for that? I want that. So close your eyes for a moment and just think on this. How can I follow Jesus? What is standing in my way? Jesus, remove the barriers that keep us from following you fully. Okay, we can open our eyes again. In verse 4, Christ's voice rises above the noise of our worldly concerns. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls us in cares and pleasures. Christian, love me more than these. While we have many events in our life when we might commit to following Jesus, our confirmation, joining a church, baptism, communion, doing a mission, discipleship is more of an act of listening and responding on a daily basis, a willingness to leave behind some of those things that compete for our attention. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I ask myself, what can I do to stay more focused on Jesus? So here's some of my strategies. I like organized things like group studies, meetings, like we have a devotion in our staff meeting, and worship. Those are good, really good times for me to reconnect, remind myself where I really need to be. If I make a commitment to a group, I'm more likely to follow through. Recently, I participated in the Old Testament discipleship group. I've studied a lot of parts of the Bible, but never really explored the Old Testament this closely before. I especially enjoyed meeting with the other members of the group and sharing our real, honest thoughts and feelings about these readings. Sometimes we didn't really like this God of the Old Testament. It was a little scary. I've also really enjoyed the Currency Event group, where we've had some awesome discussions about how we think about current events through the lens of Christianity. All these things help me. Being part of a community of faith, encouraging one another, is hugely helpful in keeping me on the path. You, my friends, are such a gift to me. I have a close friend who's not a big fan of church. And when she says, "Why church?" I say, "Because I can't do it alone. The struggle to stay the course is real, and I can't do it alone." In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Being Jesus' hands and feet in the world through mission work is also a great way to build your discipleship. Going to Mexico to serve was a great way for my son and Leo and I to commit to the work of loving people in the name of Jesus. Meeting the kids at the school where we were working and in the neighborhood was hugely impactful for Leo. He was about 16 at the time, and I would say that was a big moment in his life, being there. And he would play soccer with the kids out on the field, and they called him Rambo because he had long hair and he was like wearing a bandana, and he had so much fun being with them. And the leader of our group there said, you know, the physical work we were doing was just making a dent, you know, in what they really needed, but it was our presence that gave them hope. Serving. Caring about something outside of ourselves and our little corner of the world deepens our relationship with God. Verse 5. Jesus calls us by thy mercies. Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. Our hymn writer, Cecil, chose obedience. She devoted much of her life to charitable work and social causes. She founded a school for the deaf with her sister, using funds from the sale of her poetry and hymns, and she participated in the establishment of the Dairy Home for Fallen Women and developed a district nurse service. I was obedient until about age 14. As a fiercely independent person, I struggle with obedience. Honestly, though, as a young confirmand and youth group member growing up in the church, I would say I earnestly wanted to follow the path of Jesus, and sometimes I actually did. I really wanted that life, but I was tempted by many things and made a lot of very poor choices. There were times when I wanted to give up, but God was always there, holding my hand. And I'm so grateful that I know the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, my Savior, in my life. I'm going to invite Annie and Josh to come up. They're going to play a beautiful piece. And the piece is rather long, but it's going to give you a nice moment away from all the worldly concerns that we have, and maybe a moment that you can just connect with the Holy Spirit. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's Joshua 24:15. I have a choice. With Jesus' love and mercy, I have a choice every day to start new and choose to follow Jesus, to put following Jesus at the top of my to-do list. Amen.
Thank you. Please join me in a time of prayer. We lift up to you, Lord, our prayers, praises, and thanks as individuals and as a community seeking to follow your teachings and be guided by your word. Our prayers go out for many needs and wants, some large and universal, but also some small and personal. We pray for peace in the minds and hearts of those in need, peace amongst the worlds that face violence, war, and other forms of oppression. This weekend, we celebrate our nation and the freedoms that we are privileged to experience. We are so thankful for our ability to express ourselves, vote for what we believe is right, and to fight for what we believe without experiencing the harsh backlash that others do. We pray for those that find violence in their houses. We pray for those seeking shelter, food, or medicine. We pray for those experiencing trauma from natural disasters, those in Venezuela that were injured, and the families of those killed in the earthquakes. Help them to find strength and calm during this time of chaos. May we praise your name for all of the ways that you assist us and all of the paths that you provide for us to assist others. We do not always know your plan, but may we praise you regardless. Watching over us is a challenging and sometimes tedious task when we consistently and constantly question you, ask for more, or turn our backs only to come back when we realize what we have done. This deserves a great deal of praise for your steadfast love. As humans, we take life for granted and pick apart those around us to see if they are deserving of our praise. But may we take lessons from you through your forgiving ways and not save our praises only for those that we believe deserve them. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your seeing worth in us even when we need forgiveness for so many petty, harmful things we do every day. Thank you for creating us with so many differences and giving us the heart to see beyond these surfaces and to the depths of our humanity. Thank you for allowing us redemption and for giving us the will to move on from mistakes and the ability to grow throughout our lives. You send us miracles, such as the miracle of birth. We see in a newborn a clean slate and such hope. Thank you for sending us these miracles that remind us all of all the possibilities that are afforded to us, but remind us that a brand new beginning is given to all of us when we ask your forgiveness. You answer our prayers both behind the scenes, but also right out in the open. You send your people from the most unlikely places to surround us with your love, and we lift you up. You send down from heaven the spirit of those that we have lost to guide and encourage us, to remind us of the kingdom of heaven that awaits us. Today we pray for our quilt recipients, Dave and Marilyn. May you comfort them and give them strength during hard times. And now we lift up to you the prayers and praises that are on our hearts. And now let's join our voices together and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward at this time to receive our morning tithes and offerings and to give us a chance to share from the gifts that God has given us. And I want to tell you a little story. Yesterday, Gary and I went to a skilled nursing home in Plymouth to visit my sister, who's there trying to rehabilitate. And when we went in the front door, there was a receptionist sitting there, and I thought, oh, gee, you know, what a day to have to work on such a big holiday. And so I said to her, well, I'm really sorry that you're having to work today. And this woman said back to me, honey, I am so happy to be working. And that was all she said. And I thought, oh, wow. She's like steps above me. But it made me realize that we can find gratitude in so many things, and we can say thanks to God. So, thanks to God.
Lord, bless the offerings we bring to the mission and ministry of this church today. We pray that the work of this church will grow disciples who will experience the joy of following you. Amen.
My friends, as you go forth from this place today, go out into the world with your eyes open, your ears open, to listen for the call of Jesus. Listen to hear if there's something that you should do, something that you should say, something you should let go of, or something you should change. And then hold on tight to Jesus' hand and take that first brave step. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.